We do thank you all, my family and I. We thank you all for your hospitality. We have felt very welcomed and very much at home. We were just talking on the car ride over here, and I was expressing to my son what a wonder that he can meet a group of people he's never met before, and it feel like a family reunion. Well, why is that? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. We, because of the change from Baton Rouge over to the Silsbee area, he went into the school system. Lord willing, we're going to be homeschooling coming forward, but they did go to the public school system this year. And we drew the contrast, you know, going to a group of people you don't know and you have nothing in common with. How did they receive you? And he said, well, they still haven't received me. He's still an outsider. But we do thank you all for your hospitality. Thank you very much. We also would like to thank you for the love offering. We didn't come up here for a love offering, but we are thankful for that. We do receive that and with thanks, and it is our prayer that the Lord would bless you all with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but He would also richly bless you in love for one another, and that He would bless you as a people. I think it seems like in Scripture that the Lord is not opposed to blessing His children, is He? The blessing is not exactly what we want every time, but He's not opposed to blessing His children. Oh, also, before I'm going to pull my phone out and break one of my own rules here. I'm going to pull my phone out. And this, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not going on Facebook. This is for me. I want everybody, please, smile. I'm trying to catch all of y'all. I'm not going to disappear on y'all. All right, everybody smile. Took two or three of them. All right, so now when I go home and badmouth y'all, I can at least have a picture to go with. Okay, so before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are, Lord, thankful for your mercies that you've shed upon us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for assurances in your word, Lord, that we can see blessed truth and wonder at the love of God. And Lord, that you have spoken to us through your men of old, Lord, concerning yourself. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Spirit of truth that would reveal such things unto us. Lord, thank you for calling us as a people. Thank you, Lord, for the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, thank you for making the dead to live. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask, Lord, that you would exhort us, that you would encourage us, Lord, in love to be faithful, Lord, in the work that you've called us to do. And Lord, I ask that you would bless this church, Lord. You have, it's evident, Lord. I ask that you would keep in blessing them. Lord, I ask that you would cause them to have a desire to serve you, Lord, and that the things that they know and they believe that they would teach others, that they themselves would teach others, Lord, of the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, cause there to be unity and love in this place, Lord, and we ask that you would please bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty you've given, Lord, among these friends and these children of God, these brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask, Lord, that if it would be your will, that you would take the preaching of your word as only you can, and you would convict sinners as only you can, and Lord, that you would save souls according to your will as only you can. And in doing so, Lord, add them to the church daily, such as should be saved. Lord, thank you again for the day. Lord, I ask for your help at this time. Lord, I am poor and needy. Lord, please forgive. And we call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we've gone through this study, this brief examination in parts of the book of Jude, we're in the book of Jude, by the way, if you'd find your place there. We have been looking at five verbs that every child of God who has been sanctified, preserved, and called, five actions, five things that we are to be doing, haven't we? We looked at Jude verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And Brother Andy very graciously reviewed some of the aspect of keeping ourselves in the love of God this morning, and rejoicing when others rejoice, and suffering in other people's suffering. And building up ourselves in our most holy faith, that most holy faith, we saw how critical that was, didn't we? And we saw our building blocks that we must build upon Christ, and we must build in the elements of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And in praying in the Holy Ghost, we are to pray according to the will of God the Father, with the testimony of Jesus Christ, also with the building blocks there of the fruit of the Spirit. And with all that, we are intended to keep ourselves in the love of God. And the next thing we're to do all that while looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Mercy. Looking for that. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's just a glad statement, isn't it? What if it were today that we experienced the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? Wouldn't that be a glad day? The mercy or the goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted. How miserable and afflicted are we that He would extend mercy unto eternal life? And that day that we're looking for, that day of mercy, either resurrection from the dead or resurrection out of this body, we're looking for that day. Every day we build upon our most holy faith, we build keeping ourselves in the love of God. We will see the connection of this. We're not to put these different things in boxes and say, I'll love today and keep tomorrow and build the next day because I prayed yesterday. We're to be doing all of these things at the same time. We're to be building, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for that great day of redemption. We're to be doing that, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And believing every day, this could be the day. You know, looking forward to that, this could be the day. This could be the day. Every day that we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're to pray, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Praying, this could be the day. This could be the day. It would seem that the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great day of mercy unto eternal life, would be a day that we would be thinking about and motivated by. Day by day, wouldn't it? Shouldn't that be the case? I know when Jill and I were going to be married, that marriage day was a day that motivated me. I thought about it every day. I looked forward to that day. I told people about that day. I'm about to be married. I know when I was in college, I was motivated by that day of graduation. Man, I worked hard every day because I knew there was a day that I would graduate. And I would do what I was supposed to do. Well, friends, he's not talking about a marriage. He's not talking about a college graduation. He's talking about the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What a day. What a day that Jude has articulated to be motivation to build upon our most holy faith. And that we are to pray in the Holy Ghost and keep in love. Boy, anticipation of that day ought to really supercharge us, shouldn't it? It ought to bond us together. What a day. It would be a great day of mercy that we look forward to. Now, as we looked at Jude, that kind of kicking off there, we want to turn to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, please. There's a couple things that we're going to see out of the book of Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 2, if you'd look there with me. A couple things that we need to put our eyes on. Titus graciously gives us plain instruction of how we ought to properly look unto the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The quick reminder of this day, of this message, is that we are bought with a price, and that precious blood of Jesus Christ, and now we're created unto good works. We've read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 already. We're created unto good works. If you would like to do personal study or look into it, that we're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We won't turn there at this time, but know it's a fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22 through 23. We're bought with a price. And there's a certain measure of responsibility that comes with that purchase. We are to move and to do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we probably don't need an outline for this message. We probably already know, before we read through the verses in Titus, the things that we ought to be doing, and the things that we ought not to be doing, don't we? Don't we have just a brief list in our minds? Brother Andy gave us a pretty good list this morning, didn't he? That love that should push forward in concern and rejoicing with one another. And how could we do such things unless, like he said, we're assembled to do such things? Be mindful of that assembling. You know, you all have been very gracious hosts. I've enjoyed spending time with each of you. But, and pastors will know, preachers will know, I'm starting to ache over the people that I miss. You know, I mean, I just don't want to go home just so I can put my feet up and watch TV. I'm missing the people that I'm a part of that body. I'm missing them. I hope they're missing me, but I don't know. But I am missing them, and I hope you understand. If we're bonded in unity with the congregation that the Lord has put us in, by the way, we are divinely appointed to be particular members in particular, then we ought to ache over one another, just being gone from one another. And the illustration of the coal, Brother James, that is a good illustration. There's something wrong there if that's not the case. We already know what manner of ungodliness is. Look at Titus, if you would, please, in chapter 2. We'll be reading in verse 11, starting there. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's all kinds of men, not to all men without exception. All kinds of men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, turning my page, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That might is a certain might. It's a certain might. It's not a maybe so, it's a certain. As certain as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is God, and He is the Savior, that's what the might is contingent upon. So that's pretty certain, isn't it? Certain might. We already know that we're to deny any ungodliness there. Our business and our vocation that we're called to, we're called into the ministry of reconciliation, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, the ministry of reconciliation. You know, that's a mathematical term, reconciliation. What do you do to a checkbook? You reconcile it, don't you? You square it. You restore and adjust in a difference. Well, that adjustment, God didn't lower to reconcile the difference. Christ made us the righteousness of God in Him to reconcile the difference. We're to remember that. And ministers of the reconciliation, you don't just have one minister of the reconciliation. If you are a child of God and a member of this church, you are a member of the reconciliation. Because Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, you go back to the beginning of the letter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he wrote to the Corinthian church. You're the ministers of the reconciliation. And he wrote to those that were in Achaia. Well, what's Achaia? That's a seafaring commercial area, but that word Achaia is translated in trouble. Trouble. You who are bought with the blood of Christ, you who are in trouble, you are ministers of the reconciliation, he wrote to them. So, back to Titus. So why haven't we committed ourselves to doing? Why haven't I committed myself unto looking unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? Jude here encourages us as believers to do that. He encourages us that we should live a life that has that evidence. People who don't understand that ought to examine us and say, what's wrong with that person? I don't know what it is, but I want a piece of it, because that man's stupid mad. He's joyful to the point where he's nuts. And I want a piece of that. He encourages us. Be encouraged. This is not intended to be a browbeating series. This is intended to be an encouraging series that we would consecrate ourselves to the service and the love and the ministry of God. He says in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should be doing something. And we'll cover that in a minute. But denying ungodliness, what does that mean? Rejecting ungodliness in the strict translation means lack of reverence toward God. That's what's being told here. You know, a child of God can lack reverence toward God. Did you know that I lack reverence toward God? He says, deny that. Reject it. Reject that. That's pretty piercing, isn't it? How much of my life then should I reject, or do I need to reject? To put away, to eschew, as it's written of in Job, to eschew evil, deny lack of reverence toward God. When's the last time you heard a phrase like, hey, that's a God-fearing man, or that's a God-fearing family, or that's a God-fearing city or township? That's a God-fearing thing. It's not a phrase that's used a lot anymore, is it? But beloved, we ought to be known, even if people reject what we believe, we ought to be known that we deny ungodliness and we have a reverence toward God and a love toward God in reverence. The lack of fear of God is called ungodliness. It's not carnal Christian. It's ungodliness. It's ungodly to behave irreverently toward God. That's what it is. Beloved, because of the imminent return and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, I ought to live a life that's so impacted that anybody would say, wow, man, that guy's fired up. What they should see, reverential fear. They should see gratitude, folks should. Folks should see that I have an expectation in my life that maybe others may not have. Try it this way. If the Lord Jesus Christ wrote to us, if we went up in the sky right now and saw that He said, hey, I'm coming back this afternoon. And that was the message. That was it. How would that change how I feel, what I think, and what I say? I mean, imagine that. Wouldn't that change every one of us? If we had a message in the sky that said that, whatever change you suddenly felt in your gut, that's how we ought to be living. That's how I ought to be living. Yes. Knowing that this could be the day. That occasion. Look, please, if you would, in the book of Luke. Jesus, he was a plain speaker many times. There are certain mysteries that he spoke, and we won't know the fullness of everything he said, I think, until we see him face to face and he clears it all up. But certain things are very plain. Luke chapter 12, please. Let's begin reading in verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Be ready. Be ready. He says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord. And when he returneth from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Right? Almost mid-knock. Hey, where you been? Jill and I don't know if y'all knew this, many of you. We met online. So we emailed back and forth, and then that was when I bought my first cell phone. I bought a cell phone, and that was back in the days when you had after 9 o'clock and nights and weekends, and that, you know, you remember those plans. So whenever 9 o'clock would roll over, I would call, and I don't even think I heard a ring sometimes. Hello, you know. But think of the imagery of that. She so anticipated the call that she had the phone in her lap. And she was ready. That's how we ought to be. Looking unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Ready to rock and roll. Quick story about myself. One time I went off with playing basketball with a buddy and I didn't call her. Man, was she sore at me. She was so upset. But that's how we ought to be concerning that day of the Lord. Titus also says there in Titus that we did not deny or reject worldly lusts. That's difficult, isn't it? It's easy to say, but it's difficult for us to examine ourselves with such honesty. That means that we have worldly lusts that we're holding on to, and we must therefore reject or deny them. We have those things. The worldly lusts are the character of this present and corrupt age. The lustings are the cravings, the desires. There are many things that come in our televisions, perhaps, that we wouldn't let come in our houses if we had a gun on them. Right? Anybody here guilty of that? There's certain things that we allow, some of us. These desires and cravings. Oh, Brother Joey, we're holy and we're pious. We don't continue in the cravings of this world. The word pious, and we're going to bring that word pious up again, means devoutly religious. I had to look it up. I don't know the meaning of every word, the explanation of every word. It means devoutly religious. But there are two definitions that are primary on it. And the second definition is it's a making a hypocritical display of virtue. The word pious is so rarely demonstrated that hypocrisy or acting is part of the definition. There ought to be no hypocrisy in our denying worldly lusts. We ought to desire to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sins ought to ache us as we look unto the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It ought to ache us. You could read, we won't turn there, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was a man, Demas, that he left having the affections of this world in his heart, didn't he? Oh, we should pray for one another. We should bond one another, that we would keep each other from such worldly lusts. But brother, in our sufferings, shouldn't we also confess to one another? I struggle with this. I mean, we're not priests, you know, we don't absolve people's sins. But how can my brother help me with a thing that I have struggled and denying if I don't confess that? And you can read the book of James, where to confess our faults to one another and help bear each other's burdens. But in denying worldly lusts in Titus, and in denying ungodliness or lack of reverence, he says there are things that we should be doing. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So, in the sentence structure, in this present world, applies to all three, to soberness, righteousness, and godliness. But to live, and that's a verb, just living, just being here, you're performing a verb of living, you're breathing. It ought to be our breath to do these things. To breathe sobriety of sound mind or moderation. To breathe discretion concerning the things of God in this present age or world or age. This is not in any form, this world is not in any form or fashion a place of sobriety unto God. Don't look to the world to find out how you should live in moderation or sobriety toward God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And don't look unto pseudo-Christians either. Or people who have co-opted certain Christian ideas, or people who turn out books on this or that. Isn't the church the pillar and the ground of the truth?
Yeah.
You know, if you have a problem, you have a question, seek God in His Word and through His church, and seek out a man or a woman of God and do that appropriately through His church. But don't look into the world to see how you should have a mood or a behavior. Don't look to the world to see how we should dress or what interests we should have. Social media, books, music, friends. Don't look to the world on that box and tell us how our ideology toward politics ought to be. You know, these people are not godly people. They're ungodly. They're irreverent toward God. How does anything of this world system point the child of God, under the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life? It doesn't. And I'm terrible about this. I'm not coming from a superior position. I get sucked in just as quick and just as easy as anybody. I need this message perhaps twice as much or 10 times as much as those cookies downstairs, 200% more than anybody else. If you haven't seen the box, there's a 200% kind of cookie down there. But God help me. I need to perform in life looking unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Live, be active, righteously, upright, agreeable to the law of God, specifically loving God and loving my neighbor. That's how I ought to live my life. Looking, again, that day might be today. I need to love today. I need to move today. I need to pray today and build today and keep today. Today is the day that we need to do these things. This present age. Beloved, this may seem redundant, but that's how dumb I am. I must need it this way. The love of God and the coming of Christ unto eternal love ought to motivate me in keeping His commandments daily. Jude, if you go back to the book of Jude where our passage is, he spoke of the testimony of Enoch in verses 14 and 15. We should see this. And Enoch. And Enoch's name, by the way, means dedicated. So if we're to emulate Enoch, if we're to do what Enoch did, or even try to advance on that a little bit, we ought to at least, the meaning of his name, at least embrace that we would be dedicated in building, praying, keeping, looking, and telling, right? Build, pray, keep, look, tell. I hope you all have memorized those, by the way. We have a lot of younger folks in our church, and I have them repeat things back to me. I wasn't going to do that to y'all, but build, pray, keep, look, and tell. In Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch lived a long time ago, and he was looking for that day of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That was his message, to execute judgment upon all and convince or convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch looked for that day. What a day. One of the most loving and righteous things we can do in this world, looking unto the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we'll get to that this afternoon. Is tell folks that the day is coming. The day is coming. If I can make such declarations as, kids, I'm going to run to the grocery store, and when I get back, not telling you when I'm coming back, if when I come back, these things aren't done, then we got some answers. We got questions we got to answer. You know, God has not given us unreasonable things to do. The law, we can't achieve the law. But the things that He has told us to do, He has told us to do because there is an expectation we can perform the things that He has told us to do in Christ.
Yeah.
That's the expectation. Some of the things He told us to do in Matthew chapter 28, He told us to go. Well, I thank God that the children of God go. You know, some of us go up and down streets. Some of us go all over the place. Some of us, sadly, don't have the notion to even go to our children who live under roof and tell them of the things of God. God help us. God help us that we're not looking for opportunity to say, behold, the Lord cometh. We're to go, we're to teach, we're to baptize. And we're also to continue in observing these things and teaching in the commandments. Love. Righteously, he says. You want to live righteously, as we looked at in Titus? You want to live righteously? You better be part of the Lord's church. You want to live upright? Be part of the Lord's church. You be not just a member, but a faithful member of the Lord's church. A faithful member. I work in healthcare, and people don't let a part of their body fail for very long before they seek help, do they? They seek help. Our bodies are constantly trying to keep in a state of homeostasis, they call it, or neutrality. One organ or one part compensates for the other, trying to keep everything unified. Well, remember, listen to what this pastor told you. He spoke the truth.
Amen.
If you want to live righteously, we need to see what we're not doing and correct it. You know, a man who's willing to correct and not be corrected is dangerous. That's true. We ought to have a certain humility about us in these things, that if someone catches us in a fault or tells us we need to do more this way or more that way, then we ought to hear that. You know, I saw some of the brothers yesterday going out and telling people that's motivating to me to go want to do it some more and teach our people to do it some more. I talked to the brother last week and about open air preaching, and I thought, you know what, there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing that. So as a church, we're going to start next Saturday once we get back. We should have a desire to how much more can we do for the Lord as we see that day approaching? Amen. That ought to be our attitude. Yeah. If we can come away from these things and not have a desire to build, pray, keep, look, and tell, and advance in those things, then, and because none of us have arrived, advance in those things as we see that day. Lord, help us if we don't have a desire. I believe in a Baptist bride. If you want to be part of the bride, then in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us what a bride ought to be to a husband. A bride ought to be subject to her husband for sure, but a wife ought to adore her husband. And us husbands aren't always adorable, are we? No. But Christ is always adorable. You want to be in the bride of Christ, which brings Him glory, then you adore the Lord Jesus Christ. I adore the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to Him in His church. That's how one would be a member of the bride, I'm persuaded. And the bride, it says in Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So you better be telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come. You better be saying, come. We're to live godly, devoutly, pious, reverent lives toward God as we see that day approaching. Again, that description of the word pious, how sad it is that the definition contains the word hypocrisy. How sad is that? We're to live godly lives. We're to be devoted against the day of Jesus Christ or in preparation for, rather. Are there things that you can think of in your life that are a hindrance to your preparation to the day of mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? I have a whole bunch of things in my life that are a hindrance unto me looking for that day. They need to go. Relationships, behaviors, places I like to go, things I like to do. If this isn't a convicting message, but an encouraging message, that this is something we should be doing for the love of God, then there's something missing here. Hopefully we see that these things are to be done in love. Can we undo what we've already done? Have we messed up? Have I messed up? Can I go back and undo that? No, I can't undo something. And how about consequences? Well, I might have done this or that or not done this or that in the past, and now there's consequences, and I've got to deal with those things. But, seems like Peter, he messed up pretty bad too, didn't he? What did he do? He went out and he wept bitterly. He wept violently. But I'm convinced when he locked eyes with Jesus or Jesus locked eyes with him, it wasn't a disappointing look. It was a look of love. And those loving eyes pierced him. I pray that the loving eyes of God would pierce you in the Word of God. We would weep bitterly over our sins. And then we'd get up and do like Peter did in Acts chapter 2. It reads like a different man, doesn't it? He got up and he didn't care what was going on. He declared that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And what happened? The Lord did what the Lord does. And many were saved. And they went from house to house in bond and fellowship, singing and praising and all. It was just a wonderful time they had in the Lord. Now, he says, in this present age, I can't blame my lack of looking unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, because I can blame this current age, because Peter said, Paul wrote to Titus, in this present age, now we need to be doing these things. So, yesterday's gone, now we need to be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, now! Now, in this present age, look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, in this present age, we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly, telling others of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Telling others. Believers, we have enough to keep us busy, don't we? How will tomorrow look like for us? Well, that question is not good enough. How does this afternoon look like for us? How does it go for us? What do we do with these things? Eternity is one shout, one trump, and one transportation away. Maybe one car ride away. How will this shape our lives? How will it sharpen our testimony? Glad day, glad day. There's a song, I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, is it the crowning day? Is it? I don't know. Maybe. Hope to shout. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Behold, the Lord cometh. Christ, sinner, hear me. Outside of Christ, there is no mercy unto eternal life. Look at the original passage in Jude. It says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You take the Lord Jesus Christ out of that statement, there is no mercy, and all you have is eternal judgment. You have been warned. Outside of Christ, there is no blessed hope, and there's no glorious appearing. That day you see Him face to face, oh, what a day when caught in your sins. What a day when you will be humbled and kneeled before His white throne, then examined by your works, and then cast into judgment. That's not a glad day. That's not a hope. That's not mercy. That's not a day to be thankful for. What a day. That's a day that's coming. That's a day that's coming. It really is. Outside of Christ, all you have is your works. Outside of Christ, that's all you have. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But listen, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Looking for that day, sinner, repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and thou shalt be saved. Pastor.